Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO Radio. And whenever you hear those elves, that is not the Santa's flyby. We had everybody trying to call in and make sure that their phones were working and connecting with us to take home some Christmas presents, as it were. At any rate, we're time now for the Tuesday talk show. We want to thank you very much for your ears this morning and remind you that we ask that you hold your phone calls to speak with our guests until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on there live and let you air your question to our comment, to our guest this morning from the Grants Pass City Councilors Rob Pell and Andrew Nicholas. And good morning. And thank you very much for braving these brisk temperatures this morning, coming in here all alive, and it makes you step a little faster with these temperatures, does it not?
It's wonderful. Do we look alive? We had a long night, so I don't know if we're alive.
Yeah, rosy cheeks at any rate, so yeah. Congratulations.
I'm lobbying for the heat to be turned up in the studio.
All right. Listen, thank you very much. Lots to get to today, but first of all, I always start off asking you, what are you hearing from your constituents right now, and what are you dealing with? Indra, let's start with you.
I guess the main thing I'm hearing is people are very relieved that we're moving forward with the homelessness grant. So looking forward to having the encampments on A Street closed. I know they moved one from Fifth Street to the front there by...
Move it over to the north side there.
Right, mm-hmm. By the old Yankee Pot Roast. And so that's been a relief, I think, and better for those Fifth Street businesses and residents. So that was one thing that happened recently. But those will stay there until we get Elk Islands Village up and running. And hopefully they can start transitioning them over in the spring and not just do it all at once in the summer, because the deadline is 6 months. So that's what people are very overall happy about that.
All right. Rob, what are your constituents telling you?
I would agree with what Indra just said. And what I find really, really positive is that there are many people who have who are fully supporting Elk Island now, who were not necessarily, Elk Island wasn't their first choice. Mm-hmm. But now that Elk Island has been chosen, people are very supportive as a community moving forward and solving this problem.
All right. As a council, let me see. You had to deal with, you're going to deal with Wednesday night, I believe, a motion to adjust your code so that they may put in, I believe, the Connex containers. Is that correct? Is there any problem with that? Because I know they're dealing with state regulations and city regulations.
Well, that's a good question. We're really not dealing with state regulations here. In around 2017, the state actually had a standalone regulation on the transitional housing, and this is more of a the state left it up kind of to cities to chart their own course on that. And at that time, Foundry Village was what was on the radar in Grants Pass, and everyone wanted to get that that facility open. And that was really the only thing that was looked at in our transitional housing code. We weren't really looking to look to the future. We weren't looking towards other options, whether it's a Conestoga hut, whether it's a little geodesic dome, whatever. Nothing else was really considered except those little duplex pop-ups that they have at Foundry Village. Mm-hmm. So basically it was one thing and one thing only to get them open. And now essentially we're rewriting the code. It should have been done years ago, but we're rewriting the code that would allow a lot of different other options as they come along.
So this is just a small hiccup just to keep things moving smoothly. Is that correct?
Well, I view it that way. I'm hoping that a majority of the council views it that way. Sometimes I'm surprised at how long the discussions could be on what you would call a small hiccup, and I would call not even a bump in the road. We just don't know. But I'm hoping that we have majority votes to move forward, and we can then, again, move towards solving our problem.
All right. First of all, let's deal a little bit with yesterday's workshop, because there were a couple of things in there that the people, if they didn't catch the meeting, should certainly be aware of. And let's start with the... the Bikeways and Walkways Committee's motion, which is dealing with a lot of changes coming up for Highland Avenue and connecting bike lanes with Dollar Mountain. Can you explain to me exactly where we were at the end of that meeting here and what people should be concerned about?
Well, I think I voted no on that, not because I don't think the bike lane is a good idea. And, of course, we want the recreation that the trails are going to bring. But there are homes along Highland Avenue. It's established residential area, and they're going to lose parking along that stretch. B Street to Sandy is what they're looking at. So that was my main concern. And my concern was that there's no reach out to the people before things happen. So I'm kind of, not in favor of just us making a decision to do things that affect people in possibly a significant way without first, hearing from them. So that was all that I pushed for, but it did pass and they are going forward with it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It did pass, but with the caveat that those people from B Street to Sandy be contacted before anything happens and their input would be considered. Is that fair?
That is fair. That's what is supposed to happen. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm not sure, actually, maybe Rob knows more. So once they're contacted, if they disagree or have issues, I'm not sure. Does it stop or what happens then? Or the city just says, well, sorry. So I don't know what happens from there. But the other part to it was the sidewalk. So thrown in there, we are going to, the pedestrian walkway is going to be safer for the kids. That's a great idea.
Because you've got two schools along there, South Middle School and, yes, and a junior or an elementary school.
Right. Yes. Highland Elementary. So that's a good thing. But the sidewalks were also thrown in there at a $2 million price. So that is not being considered right now.
Oh, okay. Rob, I know you're familiar with the area, and sure, and as a bike rider, are on that area, cruising at like 25 miles an hour. Is that right?
Well, I ride and walk that neighborhood every day, and I made the amendment to the motion yesterday that said that we wanted the staff to reach out to the homeowners, and I envisioned at that time if there was a lot of concern or a lot of pushback that it would come back to council, that information would come back to council, and council would revisit that potentially. When I voted yes on it yesterday, that was my intent, was that we would get another crack at that once we've had a little bit more information, and then council can decide what we're going to do from there.
All right. Go ahead.
And I guess, Chuck, and maybe I'm being paranoid, but when I look at the bike lanes, I think about communities that have put a lot in and how it's affected their traffic. And a lot of times the goal is to cut cars out, and the lanes for cars are a lot smaller, and or Medford has a mess of bike lanes and parking downtown. So I might be paranoid, but that comes to my mind when I think of any changing of bike lanes and sidewalks.
Now the bike lanes, the whole am I correct in saying that the initial idea was to make a loop to connect two ends of the Dollar Mountain trails to extend what could be a very attractive situation for Grants Pass tourism?
Yes.
Yeah, that's 100% the motivation there, so that people could pull in, maybe drive to one of the parking lots, ride the Dollar Mountain trails, and come down the other side and be able to get an easy access back to their cars. And so we're looking at it kind of from a tourism perspective, not just tourism, but also for locals, because not many people are going to ride their bike to Dollar Mountain and then ride Dollar Mountain, only the real dedicated. So it just makes it easier for everybody if it works out well that way. If not, we're still going to have Dollar Mountain. It's still a great facility. It's just that the people, if they want to ride from one end to the other along Highland, they're going to have to be a little more brave if we don't put the bike lane in.
All right. So you may get another crack at that one if there is a significant feedback from the folks living on Highland from B Street up to Sandy, which is Sandy is just shy of North Middle School, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, it's about maybe halfway from B to North Middle or so. Yeah, okay. Something like that.
All right. So, that's one that we'll keep watch on. And if you live along Highland, be advised you're going to be contacted at any rate to get your views, and you can explain your views to our panelists here right after the top of the hour news. Also, something popped up yesterday in the meeting that I didn't get the whole picture of because I was called away early, and that's the Grants Pass Nexus Incubator Grant Project. Can you explain to what we're talking about here and where this grant is coming from? I understand it's not city dollars at all, but why is it in front of the city council? What's the situation here?
Well, I just have to correct for a second. It absolutely is city dollars. It's urban renewal area funds, which is city taxpayer dollars. While it sounds like sometimes when people present it that it's SOREDI dollars or grants coming down from the state or anything like that, it is not. It's local taxpayer dollars. But
it's specifically earmarked for a certain project, for certain projects?
Well,
or a certain category of projects?
The URA does have different categories. In the past, we have actually closed out some categories when we decided that they no longer applied or there was no interest. So within the URA, there's a lot of different shifting of funds that can be done if council so chooses. So this is not any kind of dedicated fund. This is not an enterprise fund where we can only use it for roads or only use it for utilities or something like that. This is council had a lot of leeway as to where this money could be spent, even though temporarily as a placeholder it was categorized for a project like this.
Can you explain to me the Nexus Incubator program itself? Just thinking, the name, if you're not familiar with it, could be confusing.
Well, it encompasses...
We're not raising chickens.
No, that's right. It encompasses a lot of things, and it seemed to have morphed because when we heard about it first, it was mostly for a kitchen to help entrepreneurs in the food industry come in and have a commercial kitchen to use and cook from and test and do things like that. But last night, it kind of morphed into everything, and she mentioned the money would be used for computers. There's going to be a workspace, so it's a lot like what the Hive is doing, in my opinion, having workspace for people. She's going to do business consulting, have groups there. Just the goal is to help start businesses, not just start, but to retain. If you already have a business, you can come in. If you're looking to upscale or do something different, come in and get help with that. So that's what it's for. And I will mention, although the money, because this was mentioned at the meeting, it's held in for an incubator. Back in 2017-18, the council voted to put money in there. So they kept saying money is already there, earmarked. But as Rob said, that money is constantly moved to and fro and out. And I would contend that our situation in town was a lot different back in 2017-18 than it is now. So I was not in favor of that. Not that I don't think it's a great idea. Of course, I want to help business and entrepreneurs, but I'm more of a less government, stay out of business, do your job, public safety, infrastructure, and a lot of people are struggling. And so we just spend money, and I have an issue with that.
So, how big is the grant they were talking about?
It's 80,000 and 500 or 50, something like that.
All right. So basically, it looks like just startup funds. And when you're talking commercial kitchen, that money will go quickly.
Well, she's not doing it for a kitchen any longer, it sounded like. Rob can add to this. It's for computers and technology things. So now it's not just for a kitchen or food. She mentioned helping everybody, like tech, manufacturing, everything. So again, that's kind of a red flag to me. I hope it's successful. I do, and I'll support it in that way. But how do you help everybody like that? That seems like a big reach to me.
It sounds to me like, I've had some experience with a small business development center, and it sounds like they're doing about the same things. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, yes, and Councillor King brought that up as well. There seems to be a lot of duplication with RCC, with the small business development. Yes, I think so.
And even on the commercial kitchen aspect of it, there's duplication there too. The fairgrounds has a commercial kitchen. There's other commercial kitchens in town. I guess they were trying to sell it as the people might be getting business expertise in that regard, business expertise if they want to, if they're either young businesses or startup businesses, someone theoretically with business experience would be able to, they'd be able to bounce ideas off people with more business experience, I guess, was the selling point.
All right. What are your personal feelings on this right now? Because I'm not getting a reading on really how the council feels about it, or you as individuals.
Well, it passed. The majority of the council voted for it. I'm not for picking winners and losers or giving public taxpayer dollars to for-profit business. I mean, I had a business. I got my startup monies myself. People go into debt. They mortgage their homes. They do what they can to start up. And I think this trend of coming to the council for money, for free money from people who are working day and night and having trouble paying their bills possibly to give money to a startup small business in town, I just don't see that as the right thing to do. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And I generally would agree with what Indra said. And I voted against it yesterday, even though there is some merit to the idea. I could see some merit. But what I saw was, you know, we had an operating budget, and what was presented to us showed no funding from the person who came to us for this grant. That she was basically no skin in the game from her that I saw in her operating budget. And to me, you know, okay, so she has what she feels is a good idea, and then goes and gets taxpayer dollars to manifest it. And you know, when she has when she mentors different young entrepreneurs, you know, they often are going to model, you know, what their mentor does. And, you know, that's the model that's going to be out there, is have a decent idea, and then you go try to find taxpayer dollars to make it happen. And to me, like, really, frankly, the DNA in every cell in my body is rubbed the wrong way by that model. And it's just, you know, I might have felt differently about it if on her budget yesterday had been, oh, this is what it takes for the first year. You know, it's going to be $80,000+, and I'm putting $40,000 of my own skin in the game. I might have felt totally different about it, but that wasn't what was in front of us. So when, as Indra says, when people are just coming to, you know, hit up the government, I think that's a really bad trend. It's also unsustainable long term. Mm-hmm. That thinking became really, really more prevalent, I think, during COVID. Everyone wants more handouts and more reasons to get government money. And it's just, that was basically my reason for voting against it.
It's hard for me to go to my constituents and say, we gave $80,000. I guess to some people in government who deal with millions, it's not a lot of money, but that's a lot of money to a lot of people. And so to tell people who, are working till they're 72 because they can't afford to quit, that we gave $80,000. You know, it's just, it hurts people, and people are angry about that.
Is $80,000 the only funding that they would have? That they have other funding coming in addition to that? That's not very much to get a concern going.
We didn't really hear, did we? I don't know.
Well, they had a budget, and they have there were projections as to what they might bring in from some of the people that they would mentor, and some of the charges they would have. And there were figures on the page. Mm-hmm. You know, they filled a page up with figures, and they had a presentation that had a lot of graphics and so forth. But the bottom line is that from what I could see, is that was the funding they were going to have to at least get started.
All right, that's one to watch.
What's interesting, I will add too, is she'll be in the Caveman Plaza, which if you've gone and looked, has every empty spot because they are not renewing leases, and a lot of those were restaurants, and they closed or I don't think they went elsewhere, but so it'll be interesting to see. She said she has an indefinite lease there. I don't know what they're going to do with the plaza then, and maybe she's the core of what's going to become of that. I'm not sure. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Okay, one to keep your eyes on, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Hey, Joe.
Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, hold your calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, our guest today from the Grants Pass City Councilor, Councilors Endereth Nicholas and Rob Pelt are in with us. And we've been talking about many of the happenings in yesterday's City Council workshop, which is streamed, ladies and gentlemen, live. If you've had the opportunity to watch it, it's most interesting. And if you're involved with your city at all, it should be almost a must watch. I understand it can get very interesting later on in the program, and I didn't see anything on the agenda but talked about evaluations. And did that come up later in the program yesterday?
That did come up, and I would just like to apologize to our city. It was quite lengthy and a little bit embarrassing the way it went down, but. Yes, let me let Rob. Rob was the rock star on the evaluation because he knows he's a seasoned veteran on the council, and he knows a lot more than I know and others know. And so, a lot of times, kudos, he speaks up when he hears something that doesn't jive that possibly I don't know about. So, he brought some things forward with that, caused quite a stir.
All right.
And quite a conversation.
So, Rob, you're stirring the pot again.
I Mayor Scherf and I met for about 2 hours yesterday morning, and I thought we had a really good talk. I mentioned to him at that time that I was going to bring up, when we talked about the agenda, I was going to bring up the manager evaluation because for whatever reason, it was unfinished. And in all prior years, for the last decade at a minimum, we go into council chambers for a couple hours, eight councilors and the manager, and we have a form or an evaluation form that we all fill out and deal with, and the manager has kudos and criticisms, and the manager has an opportunity to rebut criticisms. Some years, I know one year I raised one of my scores when another counselor pointed out something that I might have been overlooking. So sometimes there's a little bit of give and take in that meeting, and there can be some adjustments. And when we leave that room that night, the evaluation's over. And that's the way it's been for a minimum of a decade. And that's not how it went this time. We got in that room, and while everyone had their...
Let me just ask a quick question here. Is this done in an executive session?
It is done in executive session, and so there's some things that I'm not going to be forthcoming with on the radio, but we got into that room and everybody had their forms filled out, and we started our discussions and so forth, but it was we didn't finish that night, and I believe, as I remember it, we decided that day we were going to give everybody two. So some people did change their forms a little bit and some of their scoring, again, when some give and take or back and forth happened. And we decided we were going to allow everyone two more days to potentially change their form or their in some way, you know. And next thing you know, that's not how it ended up. And now we had a faction that wanted to basically discard that process completely for this year. All the work that we'd done, all the observations we'd done for the year, knowing that that would be the form, we were going to discard that, and we were going to hire a facilitator. And the price tag associated with that was $6,000, and we would do that in the next few weeks. And I'm like, as far as I was concerned, we were done with the process. We were just giving everybody a couple days to clean up their form. And it just, there's others who feel that we should have just trashed the old process, throw it out for this past year, and start new with a facilitator, like as of today. And I'm like, no, that's you don't do it retroactively. We can do that for next year, which would be a great and healthy discussion to have, because I think that the form and the process could be improved. But that's a council decision, and how we're going to go about improving it is going to take us some time. It's not something that you can just do in a week and hire somebody, and have a valid, accurate process that's going to help the city.
We have a great deal of talent on the city council. So why do we have to pay? And this is a question I've had about several things that happen within the city. Why do we have to pay someone from outside the area to come in and facilitate what we certainly, I believe, have the talent on board to do so? Is there a particular reason for that? And for lots of other reasons, we always seem to be hiring a consultant. I can't tell you the thousands of dollars that I've heard go out the window.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It makes no sense. We fill out an evaluation, we score, we give comments. That's it. It makes no sense to have someone come in and help with that. I think they thought the outcome would be better. I don't know how. If someone else came in and, I don't know, encouraged us to rewrite or put our thoughts in a different way. But I filled out a lot of evaluations, and it's a simple process where I hope all smart professional people, there's no reason we could not have done it. And as Rob said, it was already pretty much done. I wasn't at that meeting for the eval in executive session, but I had my scoring and everything filled out. I didn't even choose to change anything, so I was happy with how it went, but others weren't.
Your comments would have formed my next question, but I'm not going to ask who they are. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. News coming up right here on KHJO Radio.
Alan here from KHJO.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. The lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, Pamela Grants, Bass City Council, Councilors Andra Nicholas and Rob Pell are in with us. The number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, let's continue. We've talked about quite a bit of what has happened yesterday in the workshop and what is ongoing from that. So some of the things to be looking for, ladies and gentlemen, is what's going to be happening along Highland Avenue. If you live in that area, remember that you're probably going to be contacted, and I'm not sure in what time frame, talking about parking between Sandy and B Street. They may take that away. We'll see. We're talking about the Nexus Incubator grant that was okayed yesterday. The Bikeways and Walkways Committee, of course, having to do with that Highland situation. And we've got Rob Pell and Indra Nicholas here with us to explain all of those things for us. So what really is high on your priority list right now, Indra, as a counselor?
Economic growth and small business. So I did make a suggestion proposal, which was backed by two other counselors, to start a small business task force. So I would really like to see small business owners apply to get on that task force. I would really like to know from a variety of businesses. For some reason, business owners don't come forward much. They don't contact the council through email. They don't come to the meetings. But I know there are a lot of issues, and I'm not sure why we don't hear from them more. So I'm thinking maybe a task force where they can get around and talk about what their challenges are and how can the city help our small businesses, because we're really struggling with that.
The first thing I would say to that is they're probably trying to make that business go, and mm-hmm. that's why they're probably fairly busy. But in the meantime, I certainly understand the desire to get that feedback and get those people involved when it directly concerns them. How does a Main Street Grants Pass work in that situation? Are we talking about doing some of the same things?
I'm not sure. It sounds like Main Street is, well, they are downtown only. So I'm talking about businesses throughout the city, not just downtown. While downtown is a very important and vital part of our community, we have businesses all over the city that can contribute and do contribute. So they do mostly, it seems like, events is what it seems like they're putting their fingers on, is helping with the city with putting on events.
So what direction would you point that task force in, Indra?
I just want to know how the city can help. What are the challenges they're facing, and is there something the city can do to help the small businesses? Should we be promoting them in some other way? We have Visit Grants Pass, which promotes 50 plus miles away. Can we do a better job with what they're doing? Can we lower fees? How do we help them stay in business? We're losing a lot.
All right. Well, that's a grand question that we've been looking for the answer for years and years and years. And I hope you're successful in finding an answer. Rob, you're a downtown businessman. Any input on Indra's thought there for forming that task force, or are you too busy keeping your business going and being a counselor?
Well, both. For instance, after Art Along the Rogue, which is it's a really great event, and some businesses, some of the restaurants, literally have their very best day of the year during Art Along the Rogue. And that's kind of the perception among the counselors. I actually have just prepared a debrief. I went around and talked to many, many businesses regarding Art Along the Rogue. And there are some businesses, actually, where their business is down. There's many that it's even. There's some that are up a little, and some of the restaurants have banner days. But to have an understanding, for staff to have an understanding of what actually from a boots-on-the-ground perspective, actually what a lot of the businesses actually think about the events, because not all events are good for all businesses. And that's, I remember years ago, I had a Chamber of Commerce board member said to me, boy, many years ago, said, you must do a great business on Boatnik with all those people, you know? And frankly, Boatnik Saturday is my slowest day of the year by far. There's many years where I've closed if I was going to paint or put new flooring in or whatever. So the perception that because there's a crowd, it's good for all businesses is absolutely untrue. So to get an understanding of that, I think, is really important. And, you know, Indra mentioned Visit Grants Pass and maybe other websites. You know, I've seen some businesses promoted on some of these websites. It doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to how they're chosen. It almost seems like a favoritism thing or something. I'm not really sure how they're chosen to be placed on there. That would be an easy way to help some of the businesses because it's essentially free. You know, you've already got the website. You've already got some content. And to have a rotating basis upon which businesses are promoted, I think, would be a really inexpensive way. And right now, we don't have any rhyme or reason to that. So.
Well, you both have business backgrounds, let me ask the question this way. For Art Along the Rogue, some people had great days, their best days of the year. Other people had down days. Is that part of does some of that have to rest on the shoulders of the business who don't prepare something specific for that business or reach out or be involved in it?
That's a great question. And the answer, you know, I could go into great detail on it, but for spontaneous purchases, like a restaurant would be, especially if you're out for several hours and you get hungry, you don't really have to do except have extra manpower and extra inventory.
Yeah, it's natural for a restaurant.
It's absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's other businesses. For instance, my business, my primary customer, my supplement buyer, they basically stay away anytime parking or transportation or roads are closed. They want nothing to do with getting stuck in any of that. The same thing would be true. A lot of people think, oh my goodness, you know, Halloween, you know, safe trick-or-treating. It's great for the kids, horrific for business. Most people don't want to be driving when there's kids in costumes crossing the street and things like that. So it's different for all businesses, and there's a lot that to go into that answer. And I've looked at it for many, many years. There's a lot that goes into that.
I would just give you an observation from someone standing outside saying that nothing is going to change the way that, and it's Sunshine Health Foods. Right. It's where you're at. And I can see where that wouldn't be a great business day for Art Along the Rogue. But there's probably nothing you can do that's going to change that, is there?
Well, years ago, that's a great question. Years ago, I did a lot more business on Art Along the Rogue. That's before the event organizers decided to bring in food trucks. Mm-hmm. And there was so much more competition with the brick and mortars that was brought in. I mean, I used to be open. I'm usually closed Sundays. I was open Sundays during Art Along the Rogue because it made financial sense for me to do that. As the food trucks started coming in heavy, like 10 years ago or so, my Sunday became absolutely not. It wasn't even valid for me to consider opening Sunday. It was not going to be a money. I was going to lose money for sure being open Sunday, and Saturday has become a lot of that too. I'm down on Saturday, and I think a lot of that has to do with the number of food trucks, the amount of competition that's brought in, and I think there should be a limit to the number of food trucks. And actually, in my debrief that I'm going to offer to council, and I talked to the city manager about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said absolutely he wants to see what I wrote. And I wrote it a few weeks ago. I just hadn't sent it in yet, but I'll send it in this week. And it has a bunch of ideas from a bunch of different business people as to how we may be able to fine-tune that or a little bit.
All right. Andrew, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think definitely the food trucks have impacted the brick-and-mortar restaurants and places that sell food. And I'm not saying that the city can solve all the business problems or make your business successful. Ultimately, it's up to the business owner to work hard and make their business successful. But we have just never seen this many vacancies of businesses downtown or throughout town, actually. So, yeah, there are things we can look at, I think, and help with to help our businesses.
And I just wanted to add one more thing, Chuck. I think that Art Along the Rogue is a great event. It's a family event, and I've supported it. As a city councilor, I completely support it. And I think that probably Boatnik Parade is just mind-bogglingly awesome event. And the only point I'm making is that it's not necessarily good for everyone's business. And not to say I think that they're great events. I love having them. You know, but it isn't necessarily an automatic boost to somebody's bottom line.
Doesn't always make the cash register ring, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
All
and,
right.
And we need more businesses that aren't tourist businesses. So I know we're a big tourist area now, but in the winter, everyone suffers because we don't have the tourists, and we haven't. And because of the homeless situation, too, I feel like we haven't gotten the tourists we used to. But I would like to see, and I don't know why we're not getting more manufacturing, tech, other businesses that can help support our economy.
All right. We have a call coming in right now. Let's see if someone has a some input here. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for you? Oh, can you turn your radio down? Okay. Thank you.
I'm not hearing this.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Are you there now? Hello, sir.
I'm here now.
Okay. All right.
Are you there?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the echo chamber effect is going on here. I have my radio turned down.
All right. Try now.
Do you want me to call? Should I call back? Or I don't know what's going on here. I just keep hearing echo.
I can hear you fine, and I think the echo has died away a little bit. I've turned a couple of things down here. So.
It may just
be a solar flare.
You've got a really good conversation going there, and so I was almost hesitant to call just because I'm enjoying the conversation. But basically, I kind of wanted to talk about the dysfunction at the council workshop and meetings. Am I coming across okay now, or I can't really?
Yes, you are.
I turned my radio all the way down, so I can't hear it at all.
Yes, you are. You're fine.
Are you there, Chuck?
Yes. Can you hear me? Yes.
You're
coming along fine. It's us that's not hearing it. Go ahead. I tell you what. Why don't we replace this call? If you can give us a call back, we'll adjust some things here and see if we can't get a better connection. All right. And all of you stay tuned while we adjust things here. We'll be right back after this word.
An official message from Met.
We're still pushing buttons over here, ladies and gentlemen. sometimes the electronics win. And at any rate, let's see. I think we've got that gentleman standing by again. Let's try again. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guest today?
Good morning.
Yeah, you're coming through fine.
Okay. Sounds better.
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah. So the comment that you made a little bit earlier, Chuck, about consultants and all of the money that goes out for consultants, I totally agree with that, and I've seen it for years, and I'd like to actually see a computation, a total of what the city spends on consultants per year for the last 5 years. It would be mind-boggling. In any case, I see that when I watched the workshop yesterday, it was pretty dysfunctional. And part of that is because, of course, you have people that disagree, and that's fine. But rules aren't being followed, procedures aren't being followed, policies not being followed, and there needs to be, in my opinion, there needs to be some training. Now, rather than spend $60,000 to have somebody come in and train the counselors, and I think the newest counselors in America to, you know, benefit from it even more than the ones that have been seated for years, but basically, they need to follow the policies and procedure, not talk over each other, and arguments that get totally out of control. And basically, I think a manager, a good manager, ought to be able to facilitate a training session like that without spending $60,000 on a consultant. I think it would be interesting to know exactly how much staff time and money has been paid to consultants and attorneys for almost this entire year now, the discussion over the $40,000 annual raise that the city manager wants. And, I mean, just almost a year that's been going on. It's still not resolved. And now we have, you know, dysfunction over a simple manager's evaluation and the suggestion to pay thousands of dollars to bring in a consultant. So anyway, when I look at what a definition of a manager is supposed to do, basically it says a good manager empowers and motivates their team, fostering a positive environment through clear communication, strong leadership, and expertise. That seems to be lacking. Maybe the council could have a discussion about this and see, because a five-hour meeting, which half of is composed of arguing and bickering, you know, and also ethics and transparency also enter into all of this. So not pointing any fingers here, just saying it's really kind of painful to watch these meetings the way they're going. So that's my input. Thank you for giving me the time.
All right. All right. Comments?
Yeah, I would have to agree. It's not very professional at all. And for my part, I don't know, when I hear something that isn't true, or I just feel like I have to speak out, and maybe I shouldn't all the time, but we just go round and round sometimes. I think we could all be more professional and just courteous toward each other. But it seems like when there's an agenda with some counselors, they just won't stop, and it just keeps going around and round. And so I do think maybe some training. I'm astounded by the amount of money we waste, actually. And it seems like, well, every meeting we spend money on something or other, a lot of money. And so that's my goal, is just to be frugal. We're digging into our reserves for public safety, which I feel strongly about doing. But that means we have to pull back on some other things, and we just don't seem to want to do that. I think we would be shocked by the amount of money we spend on consultants and other things. And then on the transparency issue, Chuck, I'm all for that. Let's get it out in the open. There are things that happen behind the scenes. When I got a text about the evaluation, going back to that, I knew there was big trouble. I got a text from the council president that something was wrong. The first text I got since March or April, like, there's no communication. So communication is a huge issue. Some things are communicated with some counselors, but not all counselors. And to me, that's our biggest problem, is communication.
Let me ask a question here. First of all, are you advocating that perhaps what we're talking about, evaluations brought this up, that they should be done in public as opposed to executive session?
I don't
Aren't
know.
Aren't you asking for trouble or legal trouble that way?
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting when you're trying to change the timeline, or as we talked about last minute, bring in a consultant because the council president or mayor heard from who knows who, a couple counselors who we don't even know who they are or what their complaints are, even within our own council group. And so that seems to be a problem. And that's what I was talking about last night when one counselor said he made a call and they told him, or he was told, we were going to go forward with a consultant. And I'm sitting there thinking, no one ever told me that we were going forward with a consultant. So the miscommunication or lack of communication, some people know some things and some don't, is a real issue. And that should be transparent, or at least information spread to all the counselors.
All right. I'm short on time, but I'll extend it here if we need to. Rob, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Indra just said. And I don't feel that it's the city manager's responsibility to train the council, quite frankly. I mean, city manager is the council's employee, and it really gets to a really dicey situation if the manager is essentially trying to tell the council how to behave. I think that basically the example should be set by a fully engaged and communicative mayor and council president. They should be certainly not so much the mayor. The mayor kind of has other responsibilities, but the council president in years past and all the years I've been on the council has always reached out on difficult issues, made sure that councilors kind of understood or at least had some questions answered about certain issues. And that makes meetings shorter because people have their questions ahead of time, and some of them are answered ahead of time. But in order for that, you need to have a council president that has significant experience and or at least a willingness to communicate with all eight councilors. So I think that would go a long way, in my opinion. I would agree, though, that too many dollars have been spent on consultants, and this is not an area where I'm really the city manager evaluation is not one where I really feel that we need to certainly spend it quickly without a lot of thought going into it. That would have just been money thrown away.
All right. I have another call coming in. Good morning. You are on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes, I do. Are we on the air right now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to thank Rob Powell for his professionalism on the city council, his clear head and logical thinking, as well as Indra. Indra, in my opinion, is a new rising star on our council, and I thank you for not just going with the flow, but fighting for what, you know, you believe is important for our community. The previous caller, I must agree that his assessment on this last workshop was, to be quite honest, an embarrassment for our city. It was hard to watch. Went on forever. And it's clear that as far as the mayor and the new councilors getting some training on proper procedures for a city council is needed. However, I'm not in favor of spending a whole bunch of money to do that. There has to be some in-house ways to have some classes that will train. Our city manager knows how to do this. He's been doing it for a very, 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 very long time. And he would be a great trainer. And I do think that's needed. I also think that the president of the council should have been someone who was already on the council, not a brand new person with zero experience on the responsibilities of being a president. I don't know if that can be changed. I don't know if that's a motion that councillors could make to reappoint one. That would be interesting to hear if that is even possible. But thank you, Mr. Powell. Thank you, Indra. I appreciate you both so much. You are much needed on our council.
Ma'am. I'm really over time right now, so I want to thank you very much. And if you have one more comment, that would be fine, but please be brief.
That's fine. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. That raises a couple of more questions than I have, but we'll hold those for the next time and just give each one of you a final thought for the day. Indra.
Yes, I will say that I think we do need a more experienced council president. I think that would help a lot with the flow and just the professionalism of the meetings. And that will change in January. We get new council presidents. I will certainly be advocating for someone with experience on the council.
All right, Rob, final thoughts today.
Yeah, I want to thank that last caller, whoever she is. I appreciate the kind words. Mm-hmm. In addition, right now, I'd really like to make sure that we finalize and usher in the Elk Island project, because it's critical to everybody in our city that we get our homeless thing a little bit more under control. And I know there's some more I's to dot and T's to cross, but we're moving in that direction, and I want to make sure that we do everything we can to bring that to a successful conclusion.
All right. Rob, Indra, I want to thank you very much for your time. And all of you, we want to thank you for your years. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show.
Hi, I'm Scott.